thinking too about, like, by implication, what you were saying before about the dichotomy of study and forest monasteries. So, like, maybe it would be the case in Thailand, then, like, one of the only ways to really study the suttas would be to go to a study monastery, or...
Well, that's the thing. No. That's the problem, is that that's one of the reasons why it's kind of frustrating, and on a certain level, rightly so, is that what you end up studying is a lot of commentary and commentarial stories, so that it's, you get more of the sutta stuff in your naktam tri, naktam phil, naktam ek. I mean, it starts to get more and more complicated. But once you start getting into your maha degrees, then it's less sutta and more visuddhimagga, the commentaries, abhidhamma, Dhammapada commentary, a huge amount of commentarial literature, a lot of training in say Pali poetry of, you know, the 5th century, and so it's a bit. I mean, if one's real, this is one of the reasons why Ajahn Buddhadasa packed it in. He got his first maha degree and was so discouraged that he went back to Sunma. He felt he had enough understanding of Pali that he could start just going at the suttas and studying the suttas himself. Ajahn Mahabua, similar, but in a slightly different way, in the sense of he really focused on the forest practice of Ajahn Mun, which was again, Ajahn Mun was very learned, but it was sort of like you had the freedom to choose what you read and you studied, and that inspired them to read the suttas. Doing your classical courses of study, you got that, but it was a minority of your program. The majority was more commentarial, abhidhamma, classical literature, Sanskrit literature. So that, if monks were interested in practice, I don't want to do this. So Ajahn Buddhadasa was very outspoken. And then he set up his own place, which in the south really there wasn't. Northeast had a, especially in those days, you have to remember that that's this is like 1930s, 1940s. Community, or even into the 50s and 60s or 70s, the amount of communication between the different regions was fairly minimal. And the language is very distinct, so that it'd be rare for, say, like a northeasterner to go down to the south, or a southerner to go up to the northeast. And to have communication through public media or something. That was one of the things that Ajahn Buddhadasa did. Do was create a newsletter, printing press type thing, which his brother, he was Dhammadasa, was the kind of the force be making that happen, and then being able to reach out to the intellectuals of the time and being able to, and then being invited to give talks in very public venues say the universities or the court, the justice department of justice, so that his sort of view started to spread from that, and emphasizing, I mean, he's taking the sutta teachings and then trying to make that applicable to daily life and to meditation practice. He gave an early I think it was maybe in the late 50s, early 60s, he gave a very long series of talks on Anapanasati, turned into a 3-volume book just on Anapanasati. Yeah. Now that was really unheard of before.